Damn, man. Been too long since we've seen you.
He shook his head.
There's a ride coming up. You should come.
I don't ride anymore. It was the truth. All my love for Baikin and our friendship circle had died with Troy. But I still tried to look apologetic. Sam was good people. Just not my people any longer. Coming here had been a terrible idea. But a group of people were behind me, so I had little choice but to go into the tavern. The lights were lower than usual, and a DJ was set up to the side of the dance floor, spinning a remix of a classic rock tune. I headed straight for the bar. Adam Ringer was working the bar as usual, and he looked to be in his element, handling multiple orders at once. I kind of admired how he was wearing his flannel and jeans. Absolutely no nod to the theme night. Double of Jack. Neat. I ordered when it was my turn. A local brew would be my usual choice, but a beer felt a bit too social for my mood. Besides, I wanted the burn, the only friend I was truly happy to reconnect with. And sure enough, several others came up to say hello, including Sam's Ronnie, who tried to get my drink, but I waved him off.
You hear about Bill and Tom? Damn happy for him.
Ronnie wore a classic X-harness, studded collar, and leather pants. I'd seen him in far less, but, like most of the crowd, he seemed to be taking it easy. Not as many assless chaps or jocks as I'd seen at other leather events, and more people were standing around chatting than dancing or groping.
When are we gonna get your ass back on a bike, man? There's a ride,
Sam told me. I took a long sip of my drink. Let it burn all the way down. I don't ride anymore.
You should. Troy would want you back up on the horse. You know that,
Ronnie chided. I did know, but I just shrugged.
What you in the mood for tonight? Want me to introduce you to some of the newer guys?
I did not need or want a wingman. I'm good. Just here to support the business, that's all.
Civic pride? You?
Ronnie laughed like I was the funniest thing ever.
Or maybe you want to come back with us?
Oh, I needed a pity fuck even less. And Sam and Ronnie had never had the right vibe for me. Too damn cuddly and into each other. Nah, thanks though. A young guy in a leather vest and pants walked up to us, greeted Ronnie. He had slicked back hair and the air of an eager pup who wasn't yet attached to someone to keep him in line. Ronnie made the introductions, introducing the guy as Kicker, which I doubted was what his mama named him, but the group had always been big on nicknames.
You want to dance?
Kicker licked his lips as he looked me up and down. I didn't, not really. But I also needed to get away from Ronnie before he started wandering further down memory lane. Kicker didn't know me, didn't know Troy. So in that sense, he was perfect. In every other one, though, he was a trial. Dancing too close, big liquid eyes like he was just waiting for me to take charge. Which I could have, I suppose. I had come with the idea of getting my dick sucked, and Kicker seemed like he'd be on board with that plan. But he danced like an over-eager baby goat, and smelled like bad aftershave. And suddenly I was tired. So very, very tired. I needed something else. What, I wasn't sure. But this wasn't it.
Logan. I think it's a huge success. Mason raved as he came into the kitchen a little before midnight to check on an order. We're definitely doing this again. I agree. We've been hopping. I wiped my face off with the edge of my chef's jacket. Fuck it. I was hot, and we were minutes from clothing. I stripped off the jacket. Nobody was going to care if they saw me in a black T-shirt. Food orders have slowed a bit in the last hour. I let Horatio take an extra long break, see if he wanted to dance a bit before cleaning with me. You're a nice boss. Mason laughed. I saw him out there. Told Adam to keep an eye on him. Everyone seems really nice, though. It's a far friendlier crowd than I would have expected. How's Bobby holding up? Tips are good. She's been nervous, but she's doing great. Mason collected the order of fries, probably the last of the night. I'll let it be known that the kitchen's closed now. I'll be back to give you a hand wrapping up. I've got it, but thanks. I was wearier than usual, for reasons I didn't really care to examine. I'd peeked out at the crowd a number of times, and Mason was right. The event was a big success, but all the leather daddies and their boys made my stomach hurt, made me remember the Portland scene and my disastrous forays into it after Seth and I finally broke up for good 2 years ago. And it didn't help any that Curtis had come out after all his protests that he wasn't interested. I saw him dancing with some slick twink who was gazing at him like he was a choice cut on prime rib night. I didn't like the vest Curtis was wearing. The laces made me think of Shibari, him with his hands behind his back, knots going straight up with black rope. He'd never ever go for it, of course. Probably laugh himself sick at the idea. And the absolutely last thing I needed was to start having fantasies about Curtis, of all people. Images of dominating big, toppy alpha men was fine for private daydreams, but in reality, guys like Curtis never shared such ideas and tended to get downright hostile at the suggestion. It was almost like I couldn't help it, though. Something about how competent he was when carving, how larger than life he could seem, made me want to harness all that energy for myself. But I was trying to be smarter these days. Set attainable goals. I wished that other scenarios turned my crank even half as hard, as it would make my life so much easier. All in all, I was happy for the bar, happy for the business. But I couldn't help the weird melancholy that had settled over me. And it persisted. Even after Mason went back to the main room and I started cleanup. I had a stack of cardboard that needed to go to the recycling out back, and I needed some air. So I gathered it up and headed to the bin. The parking lot was still half full, so I took my time walking back, admiring the different bikes and trucks. Someday...
Well, hello, kitten.
A deep voice sounded from behind me, and I whirled to discover a large, wide man who appeared to be a good 20 years older than me. He had greasy gray hair and a motorcycle club vest with a ton of pins on it.
Why didn't I see you earlier?
Busy. I moved to pass him, but he stepped in my way, effectively pinning me against the building.
Now, is that any way to play?
He finished with a chiding noise that made my palms itch. Not interested. I tried again to get free, but he moved when I did.
You got a daddy boy? Someone to take care of you?
Damn, the dude was persistent. And also, by the smell of him, drunk off his ass. Not a sob. My heart sped up. This was Portland all over again, when visiting leather bars had earned me all sorts of unwanted attention. But now I had my friends to think about, the business. I couldn't go putting him in his place just because he pissed me off and made me nervous.
Oh, sweetheart, you just haven't met the right daddy.
He crooned and leaned in. And fuck this. I could deal with the fallout later. I had had enough. I grabbed his arm at the same time I kneed him in the groin, using a well-practiced twist to make him howl in pain as he crumbled to his knees.
Ow, 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 motherfucker! Now you've made me mad.
Of that, I had no doubt. So I didn't release his arm, keeping my position of control looming over him. Not a sub. I'm a dom, you overgrown idiot. Now, you gonna leave me alone?
Uh-huh.
He nodded emphatically as I tightened my hold, working every nerve of his pressure points. Good. I released him and stepped clear.
Leroy!
Someone yelled right as the big man charged at me like some deranged linebacker. And I didn't think. Out of reflex, I footswept him and used his momentum to flatten him.
Leroy Davidson, you big fool! You're going to get the police called fighting in the parking lot.
Curtis came striding over, nimbly stepping between me and Leroy, who was struggling to sit up.
He started it.
Leroy spat.
He did not.
Curtis laughed. And he had a nice laugh, full and rich. It might have been the first time I'd heard it.
I heard you hit on him. Saw him say no. And I was coming over to tell you to knock it the hell off when he handled his business, put you on your ass. Now, you getting on home?
Yeah.
Leroy let Curtis help him up.
Might be a bit tipsy. You think?
Curtis shook his head.
Bob, can you give this drunk asshole a ride?
It was then that I realized that we weren't alone. There was a group of people gathered by the nearest truck, all staring.
Shit!
What the hell's going on?
Sam, the big guy Adam asked to work the door, came rushing over, Mason fast at his heels.
People are saying there's a fight. Ain't no such thing.
Curtis glibly lied.
Little disagreement, but folks are moving on. Someone needs to see Leroy on home, though, too wasted to drive. Logan, you okay?
Mason asked. I'm fine. Gonna go back to my kitchen now. I spared a last hard stare for Leroy before slipping in the rear door, back to my safe place, where I took several deep, cleansing breaths.
What the hell happened?
It didn't take long for Mason to follow.
Nothing. Some drunk guy made a pass at me. He was too wasted to take no for an answer.
Oh, Logan. Mason didn't know about my interest in being a dom, but he had seen the shiner I'd gotten last year in the leather bar dust-up. I'd explained it away as some guy who didn't want to be rejected at a bar I hadn't named, but in retrospect, I probably should have just claimed I'd walked into a door because it made my friend that much more protective.
Maybe we don't want to do another night like this.
You kidding? This is our best Saturday night in 3 months. One drunk asshole doesn't mean ditching our business plan.
But we also can't have you fighting customers in the parking lot.
Mason's voice went all stern.
I heard people say you flattened him.
I took care of myself. That's all. I wasn't trying to start a fight. I was avoiding one.
Self-defense isn't going to matter much if someone calls the cops. That could be bad.
We're trying to keep a good reputation. I get that the guy was hassling you, but it won't happen again. I found my water bottle over on the shelf and downed it.
Promise.
I know that you've got a black belt in whatever.
Aikido.
Yeah, that, but I don't like you having to use it.
Maybe Adam was right and you're vulnerable.
Fuck.
No.
Just drop it.
I turned my attention to cleaning the grill. I just wanted to get the hell out of there, and the faster I cleaned, the faster I could be at home, under my shower, washing this stupid night off.
Here. I can do the last of the cleanup.
Tone more apologetic, Mason came over to the stove.
You've had a long night.
Let Adam and me close. Head on home. Unless you want to wait and ride with me. Ordinarily, I'd object, make sure I did my share of the work, but I was just done. I don't need a ride. I guess I'll head out.
Go.
Mason pushed me toward the corner where my bike gear was stashed.
Okay, okay.
The ride home would be short, so I didn't bother with the full getup, just the helmet, reflective jacket, and some Velcro straps for my pant legs. My bike was locked to the little enclosure that shielded the recycling and trash dumpsters, and I really didn't like crossing the now mostly empty lot again. My senses were already on red alert when a voice said,
"Hey, kid."
I turned to find Curtis coming out of the shadows, not a kid. I suppose I owed him for intervening in the Leroy mess, but I wasn't feeling particularly grateful.
Logan, you got a minute?
What do you want? I made my voice harsh as possible.
You.
4. Curtis. I had better come on lines in my arsenal, but that one just slipped out. And judging by Logan's slack jaw and wide eyes, he was just as shocked as me. Hell, I didn't even know exactly why I was still there, why I'd waited around to talk to him. Up until he'd flattened Leroy, I hadn't particularly liked the kid. But something about the way he'd handled the situation had earned my respect. And my dick's notice. I'd liked his commanding tone, his hard stares and regal posture. All things that really did it for me. Just wanted to talk a second, I clarified when he still didn't speak. First off, wanted to make sure you were okay. I'm fine. He continued to look at me critically, like I was some new species of bug, one that was annoying his ankles. And damn, but I hadn't known he was capable of that stare, and part of me liked it. A lot. I already told Mason I wouldn't fight again. Sorry if he was a friend of yours. Leroy? Hell no. We go way back, but I wouldn't call that piece of shit a friend. You did what you needed to do, handling yourself. Damn impressive. That was the truth. I'd been bored silly all night, drinking a tad more than I should have and waiting it out so I could drive back. Then the kid chef had made old Leroy squeal in pain, and my dick had woken the fuck up. But it was also what I'd seen in his eyes. Hardness, anger, pride, enjoyment. Thanks. A muscle worked in his jaw. You liked it, didn't you? I pitched my voice low, seductive. I don't know what you're talking about. A flush crept up his neck. It's okay. I'm not gonna tell a soul. But you liked putting a hurt on him. He nodded sharply. Not in that way. I laughed. In exactly that way. You like handing out pain? You serious about what you told Leroy? That you're a dom? I am. And if you're here to give me shit, me? Ah, hell nah. I'm here to see if you've got more in you. More? Damn it. He really was gonna make me spell this out. You wanna put a hurt on someone? Still got a head of steam built up? Well, I'm here for that. The critical look was back, but it was more thoughtful now. You want pain? And lots of it. I nodded. Now we were getting somewhere. It was what I'd been jonesing for hard for 2 weeks now, what I hadn't really expected to find tonight. I was damn picky, and I didn't much feel like playing with someone who'd known Troy and me after the whole Bill thing. Too much baggage. But strangers were dicey business, as I knew all too well. So I'd figured on getting my dick sucked and leaning heavy on my fantasies to get off. But then little dog here had gone all alpha on Leroy, and my senses had perked up. He might do nice. Green and malleable enough that I could keep control of any scene. Not be taking any crazy risks, but pumped full of enough adrenaline to dish out what I wanted. But you're... His eyes narrowed, zeroing in on my arms. Ah... He spoke code enough to notice the placement of my gauntlets. You're a sub? I switch. But I'm a pain slut. You can get any master-slave fantasies right out of your brain because I'm not into that. But pain, control, bondage, bring it on. Now?
Oh, his face was so damn expressive. I loved that about him. I'd be able to tell what he was thinking, which was good. And right then, it was like I'd proposed Christmas in July, complete with all the trimmings. Well, I'd prefer not in the parking lot. I laughed, trying to turn on my little used charm, show him I meant the offer. Your place? He was quiet, but his eyes kept moving, like I could see the wheels turning. Finally, he said, 30 minutes? I need to ride home and shower off the stink of the kitchen. I smell like fryer grease. But we can talk more there about what exactly you want. I wasn't too awfully picky about smells myself, nor did I fancy much conversation, but I nodded. Best to let him get comfortable with the idea. You want a ride? We can toss your bike in the back of the truck. No thanks. His eyes went back to wary, like he didn't quite trust my offer, like I might be about to pull a big joke on him. And I hated that wariness, wanted to stomp on whatever had put it there. I held up my hands. I'm serious about this. I want to play tonight. One-time thing. That needed saying, so I put some firmness behind the words. But I want what you can dish out. 30 minutes. Be ready. He skewered me with another of those hard stares before unlocking his bike. Will do. I watched him take off and took my time getting to the truck. He lived on the same sleepy street as Nash and Mason, and on further consideration, I really didn't want either of them knowing my business. I'd lost my damn head, and I sure didn't need Nash's opinion on that. So I parked behind a vacant house 2 blocks away and slowly walked over, trying to give him his time without second-guessing myself and calling off the whole deal. But then I remembered the look he'd leveled on Leroy. Yeah, I wanted me some of that. My ancient cell told me it had been exactly 30 minutes since we'd left the tavern, so I stepped up to his door and knocked. When he answered, he didn't say anything. Just stood there looking at me, toweling off his sandy hair, in gray dress pants with bare feet and a bare chest. And okay, really, I wanted him for the sadistic glint in his eyes earlier, but I couldn't deny that he made an appealing package outside of his ridiculous chef and biking outfits. He was more muscular than I'd given him credit for. Ropey forearms, lean but defined biceps and chest. And while no one was going to mistake him for a bear, he had more chest hair than I'd imagined, a light smattering across his pecs. Rosy nipples, and the expensive pants were a nice touch. Course I would have put him in leather myself. Maybe some tight jeans, a vest, wrist gauntlets. You coming in? Another hard stare. Oh, yes. Yep. I followed him into the living room. It had the same couch Mason had had when I'd helped Nash move his stuff out. But the wall art was new. Giant classic movie posters on both walls, and a neat row of plants in front of the window. How do you want me? Right here. He backed me against the door, using his body far more effectively than I would have thought, crowding into me. A shiver raced through me. Maybe this was going to be more than I'd bargained for. And then he leaned in, fingers trailing down my bearded jaw. And I knew with certainty that it was. You really want to play? He asked in a husky whisper. Oh, yeah. Another shiver. I liked him like this, all confident and bossy, with just a hint of vulnerability that really did it for me. Good. He angled his head, and I just managed to dodge his mouth. I wasn't sure why I did it, more instinct than anything else, but my heart hammered, and suddenly letting him kiss me seemed far riskier than letting him wail on me. His lashes were impossibly long,
mouth far lusher than it had any right to be. And the way my stomach clenched, wanting to know what he tasted like, made me nervous. And I didn't do nervous. I'm not here for kissing. It came out gruffer than I'd intended, and I felt the immediate loss of his warmth as he stepped away. I was being ridiculous, and I almost wanted to yank him back. But before I could, he paced away. We should probably talk about why you are here. Wants, limits, safe words. He crossed his arms over his chest, and I couldn't decide whether he was making a conscious effort to be more intimidating, or if he was either cold or nervous, or maybe all three. We won't need a safe word. I waved that notion away. My insides clanged around, a weird feeling of loss, like maybe I should have let him kiss me, see where things would have gone if I'd let him be spontaneous. I should have been happy he was treating this like a transaction, and yet I felt like I was missing out on something important. It was my own doing. So I straightened my spine and tried to keep my voice light. And why don't you show me your toy chest, and I'll tell you what I'm in the mood for. His eyebrows went up. Uncrossing his arms, he pointed at the couch. Sit. First, I don't have a toy chest. Nothing? I sighed instead of sitting. You sure you're a dom? If you're just putting it on for Leroy, like I said, I switch. I can give you the train and wheels version of kink. See if you like it more than you think. Sit. I know what I like. He all but growled at me. I may be inexperienced, but I don't need the training wheels version of anything. I'm pretty damn sure my hands can give you what you're after. And if you need something else, I've got belts and plenty of kitchen implements. I'll tell you, though, this isn't a buffet. Damn. But I liked him hard and mean. I sat on the couch, let him loom over me, arms crossed. I like belts. Your karate moves were impressive, but I'm not looking to spar. Your hands are more than enough to get the job done. Now, are you going to keep interrupting me? We need to talk limits, not you shopping my offerings like it's a target. I cracked a grin at that. I don't need a safe word, and I doubt you're going to stumble on my limits. I won't play with you if you don't have a safe word. He stared me down, clearly meaning business. And I want to know these limits, even if you don't seem to think I'm capable of finding them. Uh-oh. Baby Tiger was insulted now, and I honestly wouldn't put it past him kicking me out as his mouth had narrowed to a thin line, his eyes steely flex. And okay, fine. I wanted what all that hardness promised to deliver. So I'd let him work through his BDSM 101 primer on kink negotiation. Didn't say you weren't capable of it, just that my limits seldom get tested. We can do red as the safe word if it makes you feel better to have it. I wouldn't use it, but I'd throw it out there for him. It does. Limits? And since you seem to have a mile-long wish list, how about preferences? I cracked a smile despite myself. He was fun. Okay, okay. Don't break the skin if you can help it. But I'm tested and negative for everything, so don't freak if it happens. No breath play or stuff around my neck. No piss or bodily fluids that aren't cum. His face was so serious I almost expected him to be taking notes the way they do with allergies at the doctor's office. And preferences? Things you like a lot? Hate? This is your chance to tell me how you'd like things to go. And I know you've got opinions, so don't say none, or I'm gonna assume that's free rein for me to get creative. Him being creative hardly sounded like a hardship, so I was half tempted to say none just to see what he'd do. But it had also been a long damn time since someone had seemed so eager to get a scene right for me. It was a luxury, almost, being asked. Troy, well, he'd always just known. And Bill, he had his own ideas, ones I was usually okay with, as it got me what I wanted. Good for everyone and all that. Fine. You asked, kid. Logan. You don't have to call me Master or Sir if you're not into that. But you'll call me Logan. No more kid. I'm 27. I know I look younger, but I'm sure as hell not a kid. And while we're playing, you'll at least pretend to respect me. I can do that. Man, I liked him all ruffled. The angrier and more commanding he got, the more it worked for me. Now, last chance. What do you like? Pain. Back, ass, thighs, chest. I'd rather you not go at my feet and hands, need to be able to stand and work tomorrow. I'm not opposed to fucking, but that's not really what I'm in the mood for. I'd bottom for him if that's what he had his heart set on. But for whatever reason, I was reluctant to go there with him. Same as with the kissing. Some part of me seemed to want to hold back, even as the rest of me was chomping at the bit to see what he could offer. Same deal with bondage. I love it, but no offense, I don't know you all that well. Not sure I want you trussing me all up. But feel free to keep up the bossy tood. That works for me. I like orders, but I'm not crazy about humiliation. If that's your bag, though. It's not, he said quickly. At all. And we don't have to fuck or tie you up. How do you feel about being held down? Me grabbing your hands? Karate or no, I was pretty sure I could take him, so I nodded. I might not have given the same freedom to a different hookup, but I didn't want to think about why that was. As long as it's not my neck, grab away. And how do you like to come? I couldn't remember the last time someone had asked me that. It was usually an afterthought in scenes with Bill, something that happened, but wasn't the primary reason either of us had been there. But Logan looked so earnest, like knowing that was the key to the whole thing for him. I opened my mouth, intending to be flip and tell him it didn't much matter. But what tumbled out instead was something much closer to the truth than I liked. Make me wait a good long time. I fucking love getting off from the pain, rubbing on something, or jacking myself off. His eyes took on a gleam that made me smile. I can work with that. Any injuries or triggers I should know about? Avoid my kidneys. I've pissed blood before and would rather not again. Got it. You ready? He couldn't quite hide the eagerness in his voice, which I liked more than I should have. Finally. I grinned up at him. You know it. Good. His voice went lower, harder, made something warm and delicious unfurl in my gut. Strip.
5. Logan. I half expected Curtis to object, or make more smart remarks, or to wake up and realize this was all a weird-ass dream. Curtis wanted me to dominate him, wanted me to hurt him and make him come. My fantasies about taking a larger, more aggressive man and making him submit were within reach, including the ones about this man with all his charisma and power. He wanted me, and that was heady stuff. Curtis didn't laugh or crack another joke. Instead, he yanked off his boots and socks before standing and pulling open his vest. It had hidden snaps down the front, but the side laces made me think again about rope, and I was a little sad that he'd taken bondage off the table for this encounter. But I was glad I'd gotten him to be clear about what he wanted, giving me some parameters to work with. He set the vest on the far end of the couch. He had even more tats than I'd realized, colorful sleeves going down both arms, a big backpiece of feathery wings, and a flame-spitting motorcycle piloted by a bird on his chest. He had hair on his chest, but it didn't obscure the bright color and details of the tat.
"Nice,"
I said, pointing at the chest tat.
"You've got a great artist." "I know a few. You in the market for ink?"
He grinned wickedly. The New Year's resolution I hadn't told anyone about popped into my head. "I might be. I've got a few ideas."
"Yeah? Best person I know for virgin ink is this chick over in Roseburg. She'll go easy on you. But her work's top shelf."
At the mention of the word virgin, my spine stiffened.
"Pants off."
Curtis paused with his hand on his fly.
"You done this before?"
"Done enough."
I wasn't going to outright lie, but I also wasn't about to turn this into a confessional. I'd studied Aikido for 15 years. I'd also been practicing knots for about that long, getting serious about bondage-style knots and ties within the last 2 years or so. After Seth and I broke up and I'd admitted to myself what I really wanted out of sex. Since that time, I'd attended a shibari workshop in Portland where I'd practiced on clothed fellow participants, and that had been fun. Ditto the BDSM lectures I'd found. Portland was nothing if not accepting of kink. But finding this, a real person willing to let me dom them, had been
elusive.
It didn't help that all my fantasies revolved around guys like Curtis, beefy, muscled men, and I didn't like the app or personal ad scene. Not only was I gun-shy after my disastrous leather bar visits, but trying to describe what I was after had made me want to slam my head into a wall until I'd temporarily given up, decided to focus on this move to Rainbow Cove.
"I'm not going to call this off if you say no."
Curtis's voice was gentler than I'd ever heard it before.
"You being green isn't a turnoff."
"I've done some tying up," I admitted, tongue having apparently decided to confess after all. "But my ex thought I was too into that, so we never took it further. I haven't done a formal scene before, but I've spent the last few years figuring out what I like and doing research."
"Research, huh?"
Curtis grinned.
"That sounds fun, unlike your ex. He was missing out. And for this, I'm going to suggest you go slow. Ramp it up gradually. I can take a lot, so no worries there. Your arm will give out before me."
"Is that a challenge?" I glared at him.
"Get the pants off. Arrange yourself over the edge of the sofa and get comfortable. You're going to be here a while." "Yes, sir."
Curtis gave me a filthy smile. He was enjoying this far too much. He dropped his pants, giving them the same careful treatment as the vest, putting them on the end of the couch. No leg tats, but he was muscled all over, a meatier ass than his frame would suggest, and a fine, fine cock. He was hard, which was good. It let me know he wasn't kidding about pain and control being a turn-on, or about wanting it from me. I kept thinking of ways this could go very badly for me, but seeing him hard soothed me in a weird way. He arranged himself, kneeling on the couch, ass out, long back extended, head pillowed on his arms resting on the arm of the couch. He looked comfortable, like he'd done this before, and that further quieted the fish flopping in my gut.
"Good. That's good."
I paced the length of the couch, admiring him. His joke earlier about my needing a toy chest had me wanting to invest in every paddle and flogger I'd bookmarked. He'd said this was a one-time thing, and I fully intended to make it count, but man, what I could have done with some pre-planning. Testing. I gripped his shoulder, mindful to stay clear of his neck. And pressed. The effect was immediate, him yielding to my grip, sinking further onto his arms. Sweeping a hand down his back, I let myself admire all the muscle and power on display for me. He smelled like leather, sweat, and some sort of herbal soap. It still felt surreal, like any second he'd change his mind or tell me he was kidding, but his muscles vibrated under my touch. Anticipation. I let my hand rest on his shoulder blade. With my thumb, I found the pressure point there, the same one I'd used to fell dozens of opponents over the years, and I dug in. This was another experiment, one to make damn sure he was on the same page with me.
Oh, fuck.
His voice dropped, exactly how I'd pictured it, getting lower and more gravelly. I used my other hand to brace his hip so he didn't try to collapse or kick out. But he didn't throw me off. If anything, he relaxed into the touch.
Yeah. Fuck. That hurts.
That would be the point. I laughed, managing not to sound like a diabolical cartoon villain. I pressed harder, far past what I'd be able to get away with in sparring.
Fuck! Fuck!
Without warning, I released the spot, and he exhaled hard.
Shit! You're a beast!
The praise made me smile, made me crack my knuckles before tracing the crest of his hip bone, finding the pressure on the sacrum. This time I dug in hard from the get-go.
Ah, yes. Okay. Ah!
I released, and he panted through a few breaths.
Okay, point made. Your hands are a weapon. Hope you don't mind loud, because that's just how I get. And I'm not the most into gags. Get as loud as you need.
I fucking loved it, lived for the sounds he was making. Thank God this wasn't an apartment. When I watched porn or fantasized, the noises were my favorite part of the whole scene, the way subs could transform pain into pleasure, the way their voices would change into begging and whimpering. I loved the idea of being able to do that to someone, being able to take this strong, confident man and reduce him to nothing more than needy moans. I ran a hand over his ass, loving how muscular and rounded it was. But I continued my exploration to his thighs, thumb finding the little-known pressure point toward the inside of the leg.
This one's gonna hurt.
I warned before putting my weight into the press of my fingers.
Damn it! Fuck! Ah! Ah!
I liked the curses, but my favorite was the way he'd descended into just groans the longer and harder I went. The pressure point game was fun, so I did a few other spots just to see him react. Simply those noises, his reactions, were far better than any sex I'd had. With Seth, things had always been scripted, almost. The list of what he wouldn't try or found distasteful was longer than that which he would do, so we'd fallen into quiet routines that led to orgasms. But it didn't give me the same rush that domination did. Curtis needed me, needed what I could give him, couldn't do this for himself, and that ramped up my arousal. Each sound of his told me how much he was into this, as did the tremble in his back muscles, and being able to do this for him, push him like this, give him what he craved, was what I most loved about domination. He'd probably have some faint bruising tomorrow from how hard I was going, but I really wanted to see some serious shades of red.
Ready for the real fun?
I asked in a low growl.
Yes. Fuck. Yes.
Sweat had already started to bead up along his hairline.
Crack!
I let my hand fly, connect with the meat of his pale ass. His whole body undulated from the blow. A faint pink tinge colored the area, and all my senses hummed. The air smelled like sex, even though we'd barely gotten started with what I wanted to do. Anticipation gathered in my mouth, making me need to swallow hard. The big, powerful man had let me do that, let me mark him. I wanted more of that. Right that moment. And amazingly, he seemed to want more too, rocking subtly toward me. It was magic, almost, how pain could be transformed into something we both wanted and craved, pleasure for us both. I loved how he was trusting me to do this, to create that magic for him. I spanked him, again, twice more in rapid succession, harder each time, and he groaned.
Oh, fuck! You're stronger than you look.
And you look damn good with my handprints on you.
More.
Oh, yes. I'm in charge, I said sternly, returning to the sacrum pressure point with my thumb, and that was a little warm-up. I'm going to go harder now.
Bring it.
You're so damn cocky. I shook my head as I stroked down his back. I'm going to make you count. Don't mess up. The counting games on most spanking porn videos were dumb and tiresome, but the reality of him spread before me, whole body tense, mouth slightly parted like he was ready to say the number, was hot beyond belief. I went as hard as I knew I could maintain with a decent rhythm, and he moaned and cursed before spitting out,
"One!"
We got to five before he added,
"Let me touch my dick, please."
"Oh, fuck no," I laughed. He'd said he liked to work for it, and I fully intended to do exactly that. I rattled off another three with just enough time for him to get the numbers out. My palm was stinging like I'd petted nettles. My bicep burned, and my lungs and heart heaved like I'd just biked a century, but I'd never felt so euphoric as looking down at all that red and pink skin on his ass. This was headier than the rush of doing a five-course meal to perfection, managing each small detail, tweaking the experience for the recipients. That sense of being able to manipulate the details was something I hadn't even realized I needed. But I couldn't deny the way my pulse was thrumming at being able to create this scene for Curtis.
"Please, fuck. Oh, I'm so hard."
He was breathing, as labored as me, and his voice was ragged.
"Let me see."
I ran a hand underneath him, down his sweaty chest, stopping just above his dangling cock.
"You come when I touch you. It's going to be five more. Harder. Incentive,"
he rasped. 10, I countered.
"With the belt.
And you don't get them if you've come."
"Won't shoot,"
he promised, way more contrite now. His cock was a pulsing bar of iron, damp at the tip, generous plump head, thick shaft. And knowing he was this hard, for me, because of what I'd been doing, what he wanted me to keep doing, had my own cock throbbing.
"Let me suck you,"
he wheedled.
"Before the belt, let me suck you off."
Tempting. I stroked him, slow and leisurely.
I'm good at it.
I'm sure you are. I withdrew my hand. But right now, much as I want to know what talents your mouth has, I want to see you wearing stripes more, and I promised you 10. You take 10. You can touch your dick.
Fuck yes.
He stretched, making the handprints on his ass dance. If this was a dream, it was the best I'd ever had, bar none. Curtis was on his knees, ass blotchy pink and red, wanting more. I undid my belt, dragging it across the fabric, letting him hear it unfurl. I practiced a little bit with the belt on my own thighs and calves, tried a lot with pillows, and seen tutorials aplenty, but my hands still shook with unwelcome nerves. Thank God his eyes were closed, and had been for a while. I took several deep breaths.
I need you to speak up if I go too hard.
I made it an order, managed to mask some of my uncertainty.
I want this. Want you.
Curtis's words went a long way to reassuring me. He sounded buzzed, which was what I was going for, but he also seemed sure of his own desires and needs.
Warm up slow if you need, but I'm not gonna break.
Good. I let the belt snap through the air. The whole room became electric before the leather connected with his already pink flesh.
One.
His groan was an intimate thing, not unlike a lover about to climax.
Fuck.
I wanted more, just like that. I waited to watch how his skin reacted, a deeper flush of red, but the skin wasn't broken, and no alarming welts.
More,
he urged, further showing me that I hadn't gone too far. A deep sense of satisfaction settled over me. He wanted this, wanted my marks. The man who made his living, leaving indelible marks in wood, was willing, eager even, to cede control to me.
This
was what I'd fantasized about, waited for. I varied where the next several blows landed, doing a few on his upper back, and his moans started to mingle with curses and pleading.
5. Please. Oh, fuck. No more.
I paused, loving how far I had him on the edge, but wanting to give him ample opportunity to safe word if I'd pushed too much.
I think you can take it. Just 5 more. Then you get to come, and you're doing so damn good, so fucking hot. Yeah, I can.
He gulped like the air was water in the desert, and his whole torso shone with sweat. Mine did, too, I was sure.
Can't count.
That's okay, I soothed. I'll count for you. Just 5. I promise. I counted off the next 3, and he groaned over and over like he was a porn star getting fucked hard.
9.
I let it land right on the worst of the bruising on his ass, expecting more cursing, but he seemed beyond that now, almost keening.
And 10.
That one hit right where his thighs met his ass. His groan was so low and broken that I thought for sure he'd come, but his dick was hard as ever, dripping pre-cum.
You did it. So good.
Throwing down the belt, I reached for his dick, bending over so my lips were against his ear.
Come for me now. You earned it.
I worked his cock with my right hand, running the left down his back and ass, pausing at each red mark. As soon as I reached the big bruise on his ass, he started to shake, and his cock swelled in my grip. I pressed down on the sore spot with my thumb. That's it. Come on now. He came with a mighty shout, shudders rippling through him. Collapsing fully onto the couch, he kept groaning, "Fuck!" softly, over and over.
You did so good.
I wiped the sweaty hair off his forehead, half tempted to kiss him there. He seemed to be sinking into subspace, a trance-like state where I wasn't sure whether he was about to drift off or what. And while my own cock was screaming at me for relief, the urge to take care of him was stronger than the need to jerk off onto his marked flesh. Instead, I raced to grab a bottle of water, a towel, and some aloe lotion with arnica that I used after bike falls.
Here. Drink.
I crouched next to him, holding the bottle while he chugged half of it.
Slow. No puking.
Won't.
His voice was slurred. I cleaned him off with a towel and he was remarkably pliant, letting me move him this way and that to get at the mess on his stomach and the couch. Then, after he settled on his stomach, I worked the lotion into him, starting with his shoulders, inspecting each bruise, making sure I hadn't accidentally broken the skin. The whole time I offered him soft praise, the sort I'd been waiting years to hand out. Giving him the pain we both craved had been sublime, but being with him like this might have been my favorite thing out of the whole encounter. I was especially gentle with his ass. No broken skin, but he was certainly going to feel it tomorrow. Pulling a blanket off the back of the couch, I draped it over his legs.
You can rest here as long as you want.
I stroked the uninjured parts of his back some more. He cracked open an eye.
I'm only putting up with this aftercare business because I came my brains out and still can't feel my feet.
I recoiled like he'd slapped me. It's part of it. An important part.
Not something I need.
His voice was still slurred.
Some do, though. So, you know, A+ for effort on your part, kid. I don't want an effort merit badge.
My voice came out far harsher than I'd intended.
Why don't you come over here and let me suck your dick?
He still didn't have both eyes open.
You earned it.
I'm good.
I meant it. I'd beat off to memories of tonight, for months. But I didn't need a sleepy, sloppy blowjob from him, not when we were back to the calling me kid business, and he seemed to be in dire need of a nap. He might not think he required aftercare, but I saw it as a big part of my job and responsibility, giving him what he needed, not simply what he thought he wanted. If he were to ask me what I wanted most, it would be for him to sleep, and then maybe have a much less kinky round two, where I still got to come all over his marked flesh. That would be my ideal. But I knew instinctively that I wasn't going to get it, that he'd be gone after the briefest of sleeps. Oh, well, I'd rather lose my chance at an orgasm and get the opportunity to see him just like this. Eyes closed, face slack, soft sounds escaping his mouth.
I did that.
Pride, every bit as potent as a climax, surged through me, and with it, a small hint of sadness. He'd said one-time thing, and he'd meant it. But damn, what I wouldn't give for seconds.
Curtis. I woke up alone on the couch, soft covers pulled up around me, and a pillow under my head.
Damn. Boy Wonder didn't do things in half measures, that was for sure. It wasn't unusual for me to need to sleep a good scene off. But this was the first time in a long time I'd had such caretaking. And I didn't like it. I got that he was trying to follow whatever kink guide he'd found on the internet. But I didn't do after.